built.
Little log house, log cabin.
Oh, it was a log cabin. I see.
Then Bob Steele built a little addition on it and sunk a meat shaft on it with a windlass in it. And that was our cool storage, our refrigeration here in Eagle for a long time. I used to haul ice for him with my dogs, you know, and he'd get down there and I'd let it down to him. And he'd go over there on the 4th of July, hot days, and get a nice clear chunk of ice, no sawdust or nothing. He just kept perfect down, 35 feet deep.
Does anybody have any ice cellars now or tunnels, ice tunnels?
No. I had one down in Charlie Creek. The old man Biederman built that. Boy, that was a good one. A double set of doors on the old grizzly bear got in there and just ruined it.
Well, I saw one up at Circle Hot Springs. They're not using it right now. But, you know, the Carlos over there, Mrs. Coyle knows Bill Carlo.
Mm-hmm.
You know him?
No, I heard him. That's about all.
He's Indian. He and his wife are over at Rampart. I think it's on Hunter Creek that they're mining.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an old place that's been there for a long time. They still use that. They put. Mm-hmm. They have ice in there that's 5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
They put it in there. When they bought the property 5 years ago, they got ice out of the creek in the spring, and they put it back in there, and it's still there.
Yeah, that's the way it have, was down in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's right into the side of the cliff. It's right into rock, and they've got double set of doors. They've got one room, and then a middle room, and then the third room is where the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Third little cavern is where the ice is. Yeah, that's where they keep the frozen stuff.
He had a double set of doors, and he had a piece of canvas hanging down. He wouldn't let the kids run back and forth because it whips up the air, you know.
Yeah.
And you get way back, then he blasted out a big room in there.
Yeah.
And that's where you hung the meat. Mm-hmm. You could kill a moose right in the hot summertime and put it in there, and it would freeze and solid in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if you didn't take care of it in the fall and have the door open for it to freeze back and all that, it would thaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he always had somebody down there, an old Indian he used to keep down there with him.
Well, is that how I saw a huge big... ice cream mixer in the down in the old customs house.
Well, that's out of the
museum.
Old Redmond Hall
yeah.
over here. Yeah.
Well, that's where they got the ice then. They keep it that way until the 4th of July, or they'd have ice all year, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's how they'd make their ice cream.
Yeah, there was two of them. They had a big flywheel on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they used to keep ice but with moss. We did out on the creeks. We had a lake back of the and cut ice in the spring. And then cut moss, and then this moss was made just like a moss house went up on top of the ice.
Yeah.
We had ice all summer.
Yeah, that helps.
Sure does.
But now I'm lucky. I rent freezer space from these Murleys.
Oh.
Just over.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
No problem.
No. I got it full of everything.
Do you have electricity here?
Yeah. Yeah. I had the house wired, and Antone got his light plant, and then he gave up. He didn't want to monkey with it anymore. So Borg and this John Borg, the guy that used to own the lodge, and Charlie Ostrander, they set up this engine here running over there now.
Mm-hmm. So they're, what, just several subscribers, and you all chip in on it or pay so much a month?
Yeah, I pay $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$15 for the lights and $5 for the freezer space. Mm-hmm. Well, that isn't too bad in a place like this.
No, I don't see it.
Oh, makes you real nice.
Well, let's get back to that Order of the Redmen. Did you belong to that?
No.
What did? How come you didn't belong? Wouldn't they?
Well, I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here. Huh? Well, that was the real early day.
That was in the early day. Bob Steele was one, and Gus Douglas was a Redman, and Charlie Ott. And I remember you walking down the street, seeing him walking down the street, going to meetings. And it was active when I came to town, but I never joined it.
Did they have a Pioneer Lodge here?
No.
Arctic Brotherhood in the
used
early
to have
days.
The Arctic Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And used to be a few that belonged to the Yukon Order of Pioneers. That originated up over 40 Mile now.
Oh, it did?
Mm-hmm. They got pictures of this George Matlock I mentioned. It's the only picture I ever seen of him when he was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a rugged individual.
When you came here in 1934, were there still any of the Army or Signal Corps people still here? Or did they, when that closed up, did they all just leave the country too?
No, the Signal Corps just closed up a man by the name of Pogie, and Jess Knight's brother down here was an operator here then too. And
but they weren't in the Army, they were just civilian employees, weren't they?
I think Tiny Knight was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
But this Pogie, he was a Russian, and he lived in that house where Murley's are. And that's when they closed it down, and then he went in, and I don't know, I heard later he became an interpreter during World War II. Then they used to have a big tower up here on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
For the wireless.
Yeah, for the wireless. Well, that was all gone when I come here.
Mm-hmm.
And the one down at Circle was inoperative too.
Well, there's a Signal Corps building at Circle.
That's where the old school is.
Yeah, they used to have the school.
Yeah, there used to be a big tower right there. Mm-hmm. And I bought the creosote box from under it from Harold Gillum when he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Moved it into town, and then an airplane hit it, and they had to tear it down.
Yeah, I was talking to Pat Oakes over in Central not too long ago, and when she first taught in Circle City, they used that building. She said,
mm-hmm,
she didn't think there was a bit of insulation in it because they'd pour wood in that stove all day long. And
yeah, flimsy built and it gets old.
And it was really cold, but it's, you know, it's an historic little structure, and it should be, not little structure, it's kind of a good size structure.
Yeah, it's a hip roof.
Yeah, should be preserved somehow or other. You know, I keep harping on this, should be preserved. Right now it doesn't mean too much, but 50 years from now, the history of this area is really going to be valuable. And
well,
people are
going to
be
so.
Digging into it.
Well, I've got a picture here of Jack McQuestion's old
Have
original
you?
Store down in Circle.
You do?
That is part of it.
Yeah.
And all these Indians and people out in front of it.
Yeah.
And if I'd have held that camera just a little bit higher, I could have got that sign there, Jack McQuestion,
yeah,
that the university's got. Old Vonley Richmond gave the university that sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was...
And then they tore that down and moved it back and built a dance hall out of it, or a community hall out of it.
In Circle.
Yeah. And this old George Matlock, I remember, he's the guy that built it, and old Casper helped him get the roof on.
Mm-hmm.
He was late and it was getting cold. Yeah, old Circle, ain't much left down there. It's historical neither, except Nels Rasmussen's old house.
Yeah, that's a good looking old block,
yeah,
structure.
He used to hold court in that thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That someone, let's see, who was, I can't remember who it was, someone here yesterday or today was saying that he or she, I can't remember who it was now, he or she thought that Jack Warren's store down there that he bought from NC, that store had been taken from here, you know, piece by piece or moved. Do you know if that's...
No.
No.
No, the old original store, Nels Rasmussen, built a saloon. The old, last time I was down, I seen the old sign, had a great big sign, saloon.
Uh-huh.
And that's what that building, well, that burned down.
Yeah, just 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and then he built this new place.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was, no, Nels Rasmussen built that right down there.
Yeah. Well, I know that they had, the O'Leary's were in there, and some of the others.
Yeah.
Well, no, Larry wasn't over there that early. But they had sawmills over there, I'm sure.
Wilbur Jewell did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nels Rasmussen had a sawmill, too.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, he preceded Jewell, Walter Jewell, and, mm-hmm, I mean, Wilbur Jewell.
Wilbur Jewell, yeah.
But the NC was in there in the early days. But some of that work over there in that lumber seems to be pretty refined work. It's not too rough. I didn't know if they had... What kind of
sawmill? Well, it might have been some lumber come down from here when the Army had their sawmill and the planer going down.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how it... But there was some pretty good looking lumber there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what interests me about the Steele Hotel using some of this lumber, mm-hmm, from here on it, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, Danny, and I remember when old Bob, he was flying back and forth that year. Oh, he made a lot of trips. Just on account of that lumber.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny told me that George Black brought it down on a scow and shoved it up there, and they couldn't get under the old bridge. So they unloaded it right there below the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it he packed, and some of it I think Sig Wool hauled it with a truck.
From Circle?
No. No, from where he landed it.
Oh, I see.
Up to where the steel hotel was being built. Gee, old Bob worked like a mule, and he was a hard worker. Golly, he used to cut a pile of wood here to keep that thing going down there. And he had an old mule. His boy, Dean, the one that committed suicide, used to drive that mule all the time. Hauling the wood home as fast as old Bob could cut it, and he used to throw up a big pile there every year.
How many steel children were there?
7, I think, or 8. Yeah. Old Mom Steel raised them right there. Never had no washing machines or dryers or nothing in them days. You know? Yeah. There was, and the Biederman family was a big family. They never had no conveniences at all. Yeah.
Yeah, but the mothers didn't do all the work either. They had a lot of help.
The oldest girl.
Yeah, you betcha.
But I know down there at the fish camp, when the old man Biederman was going full blast, had his family down there, and Ralph Newcomb on the steamboat said they used to get the biggest kick out of that, because every trip, upstream or down there, there was always a big, long clothesline full of clean clothes. She was washing all the time. Every day she was washing clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was clean at least.
Darn right she was. Good cook.
Yeah.
Golly, she was an immaculate old cook.
Well, was she a native woman?
Yeah, full blood, couldn't read or write.
Is that right?
And it's funny how their brain works. She wanted to learn to play pinochle the worst way, you know.
Yeah.
And she'd go to these, we used to have a little kind of a club going around here playing pinochle and crib and have a little lunch and all that. And she'd sit there and watch. And then she'd go home, she'd lay out hands, you know. And she was kind of slow thinking in her own way, you know. And she turned out to be the sharpest pinochle player in this town.
Right?
Yeah.
Still couldn't read or write.
Yeah. Funny thing how that goes. And she amazed everybody.
Well, when you came here, did they have enough children in the school to have a school?
Yeah, that school down here was going then. Mm-hmm. And the last, well, I wouldn't say the last teacher, one of the teachers was Mrs. Milligan from Cannonau. You remember them?
She was Jessie.
Yeah, she was part Native.
Jessie Milligan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Trying to think of her first name. I mean, you know, what name before she's married.
Yeah.
There was two.
Jeannie, our kids and all the kids here just worshipped her. She had a wonderful way with kids. And then she took sick here, and he used to pull her down to school on a sled. I don't know what was wrong with her. And then she died downtown, I think. Or Fairbanks. She was born in Tampa.
Her sister married Farrell, a fellow by the name of Farrell. Mm-hmm. They were both teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what their name was before they were married. I can't think of. She was married before she married Milligan. Her name was Mrs. Ben Mose.
Yeah.
He was a teacher up here.
Boy, her memory sure clicked. I go, Jack Bush could do the same thing. He'd sit there in the lobby of the steel hotel and go way back and remember names and dates. And
yeah.
He was a character. Yeah, that's wonderful. When you.
But I want to say that her maiden name was Harper, but I'm not sure.
No, she wasn't a Harper.
Now, she was part Native, you see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she married this Mose, and then he divorced her, and she married Milligan.
Huh?
Fred Milligan, who used to run the mail down Rubion.
I remember her talking about that. Mm-hmm. She used to live in that little cabin up there where Vince James is staying, on the hill there. Yeah.
Well, was there, did they ever have enough children here? Since you've been here since 34, that's almost 40 years, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
Yeah, getting close.
One more year and it'll be 40 years.
Yeah.
Did they have enough teachers, enough children for more than one teacher, or they just had one
teacher? No, they just had, usually had the one teacher. They wound up with five children, and that's all it required. All the books and everything's down there right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But didn't they have two schools here? BIA no. And a territorial school?
No, the BIA was up in the village.
Oh, yes.
That's well, right. Then there was Johnny Simons. He was an old soldier. He wasn't born here, but he was born in Key West, Florida, and his dad was a colonel or something. He come up here to soldier. Well, he had to go up there to go to school. There wasn't a school in Indy here at Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else went up there to school, mm-hmm. back and forth.
In the village.
Yeah. Mrs. Hansen can tell you that. Yeah. Somebody else. I don't know if it was Cy Randall or... It was somebody. I know there's two of them.
Yeah, he went to school here. Cy Randall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Cy, he done all right for himself.
Yeah, he was up in Fairbanks, I believe, this summer.
He was?
Anchorage,
gentlemen. Well,
he lives around Anchorage now.
Mm-hmm. Cyril Randall, he was born in Dawson. His dad, there's an accident over there in the shipyards at Kirkland when they moved out there, you know, during the war. There's a crane swinging around, and he was standing up on a piling, you know, signaling. I guess it was a pile driver crew. He was standing way up there on the end of that piling, and this old crane swung around, and the hook hit him on the head and knocked him out, and he fell down in the water. Before they'd get him fished out, he drowned.
Mm.
And she was here once, Mrs. Randall.
Yeah, I met her. Met her here, and I also met her outside.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's gone now.
Over at Kirkland.
Yeah, she had a little house in Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she seemed like a real nice person. That's how Ole Hansen come to the country. She was telling me about it.
Oh, yeah?
Her experience getting in the Eagle. She had an awful time. She came over the White Pass Railroad and all that, but she missed the last boat of the season. So she had to stay a long time in Dawson, and then Percy DeWolf come along. She had to stay a long time in the old 40 Mile. And finally, she made it down. It took her about 2 weeks, she says, to get here.
Is that right?
And old George Randall they had a room reserved for her down in that old hotel. It's gone now, tore down, old Riverside. Gee, she's a sweet person.
Yeah. Well, did she come up here to teach school?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the reason, how she got up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she taught school up there in the village for, how many years? Quite a few years. And there was no road up there then, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just a dog team, just a footpath. And she walked back and forth there in the wintertime, 50, 60 below, never thought nothing. She walked with a powerful stride. Gee, she's a fast walker.
Yeah.
And now I see her going across the street.
She slowed down a lot.
Slowed down. I can't believe it. She's sure a strong woman.
She sure seems like a nice woman.
She is. Everybody loves her. She's the queen of this upper river. Gosh, she's brought a lot of babies into the world up there. Yeah, always a helping.
The unofficial midwife.
Yeah.
Over in Rampart, I talked to one of Al Mayo's daughters, Antoinette Woods, her name mm-hmm. is now. Used to be Roberts. She married a Roberts, and then later he died, and then she married this man named Woods. And she's been midwife to about 75,
yeah.
Over 75.
I don't know how many old he has.
Children over there.
An awful lot of them.
She's a real good-looking lady. I don't know how old she is, I forget. I talked to so many people since I talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's born in 94 at Old Station, as I recall. You know, when Al Mayo came in with McQuesten and
mm-hmm.
Harper and
yeah.
Ledoux.
Yeah.
And he stayed downriver, Rampart, kind of moseyed down that way and stayed that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, She had a twin sister, identical twin sister, who died in 1927. I thought, when I was talking to her, that those two, boy, I bet they were really a good-looking set of twins when they were young. She's a real pretty woman, has lots of real, real white hair, you know, real handsome woman.
Well, you know, oh yeah, there are a lot of them women are well-preserved, you know, they're rugged, come from
but
sturdy
her daughter,
stock.
Her daughter came, her twin sister got sick over in Fort Yukon, and they took her up to Fort Yukon. I don't know what it was. Might have been TB or something, but she went. They did everything they could to save her, but they couldn't. We got to talking about twins because we were at Kitty Harwood's house. I don't know if you ever knew Rex Harwood. Okay.
Yep.
She had identical twins born there, and Antoinette had delivered them. And then Pauline Carlo was the other woman there. She'd had twins. I was the only one there who didn't have twins. I wasn't a twin.
Yeah.
It was real coincidence. I sat there and talked about twins for about an hour. And everybody in Rampart, when Antoinette didn't know they were going to have twins, and neither did Mrs. Harwood. And they had, she delivered one baby, and Antoinette said that, she said, well, there's another one. There's still another baby. So the word went around the village pretty fast, and those babies were just a few hours old, and everybody in the village had been up to see them.
Yeah, sure.
First ones had been who had been born there. Well, within memory, you know. So those Kitty Harwood's twins, you know, now they're married and living in Fairbanks.
Candy, yeah, I was down the river when my boys were born.
Were you?
Yeah. Max has got a birthday coming in October, and his birthday is in May 18th. Golly, and I lost that guy, boy, that just took the zip out of everything.
I'll bet. Was that right after, recently?
Yeah, no, 1960.
60.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long ago.
No, and I was working for Manny Olson out on Fish Creek, and I went down to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure glad I did.
Yeah.
I just got going good up at Barter Island here. I got the wire that he got in a car accident, got himself killed, and then he was just back from Africa, a month or so.
Yeah.
And 3 days more, they was going to send him up here to Eielson.
Is there?
He was in the military police in the Air Force. So then I had to go back down there and take him back to Minnesota, where our plot is. Buried. 20 years old.
Yeah, I've got a boy who's almost 19, and I've just got, he's our only son, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't want him to have a motorcycle, and he went out and bought one anyway.
Oh, you gotta watch that.
Oh.
You can talk.
He had it for about 4 months before I even knew it. He bought it in the wintertime. He never did tell me. I knew something was up. And all of a sudden, one day, he brought it home. And he wasn't sure whether he was going to get to keep it or not. And I was ready for getting rid of it right then. But old Jim, you know, he's so good-hearted and soft-hearted. I was talking to my neighbor about it, whose boy got one last year. And she said, well, Mike, don't worry too much about it, because they think they know everything about vehicles and cars and motorcycles. And it'll be in part or broken down about half the time, and thank God it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken down. He had it in 1,000 different parts most of the summer. But now
that's good.
He's down in Enana now, working, staying with Bob Beck down there.
Oh yeah,
that's the one I thought you might be related to.
Oh well, yeah, Bob,
you know,
Beck.
Bob,
he's the old miner from out along Richardson or someplace. Yeah.
Well, he's done quite a bit of mining. He's been in heavy equipment and gravel, road building. Business. He just lost his boy in June.
Yeah, I see that in the paper.
So George is down there now with him, and he's got his motorcycle down there, so I'm just waiting for the snow to come so we can put it away.
That's the second time a boy that he lost.
That's the second boy he lost. They were born 15 months apart, and they were killed 15 months apart.
I'll be darned. Airplane?
The first one was an airplane that developed some trouble, and they had to set it down on the Tanana, and the Joe was piloting it, and he was killed, along with another young fellow from Nenana. And Dell survived the air crash, and he had a broken leg. He walked out with a broken leg.
I'll be darned.
And then in June, he was operating some heavy equipment, and they don't know what happened. He was by himself. And anyway, it was a front-end loader with big balloon tires, and one tire hit some soft dirt on the side of the road, and it went over the embankment. It hit him and broke his neck. He'd just been married 2 weeks before.
Oh, my God.
To Jack Coghill's daughter.
Whose daughter?
Jack Coghill's.
Oh, yeah?
And Paula. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a sad, sad thing.
It sure is. He was going to be married in the next spring, too.
George was... he's staying with the Becks, and I think it's kind of good for them to have a
kid around.
Because they had a younger boy, but he's up north working for my husband. So... he wanted to go back up there because he could make pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of fills a void right now for him. They were a little bit at loose ends. And
well, who does Jim work for now? Colorado Gas?
No, he just does consulting work for...
consulting.
He just does a little bit for whoever wants him, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Kind of a valued person right about now because he's one of very few with actual engineering background.
Boy,
in the
I should say.
He spent a lot of years up there.
I said, I just told Elwood Tong this spring, I said, when it comes time to build that pipeline, they ought to turn the whole thing right over to Jim Dalton.
Yeah.
He knows all the conditions.
Well, I don't think he'd work for that outfit. There are too many bosses, too many people.
Yeah.
You know, when they built the Dew Line, first thing they did was send in a bunch of engineers from New Jersey. And they had to undo more fancy New Jersey engineering.
Yeah.
And redo it Alaska style, but.
But old Mike Hamilton kept that pretty well under control, though.
Yeah, they finally got it pretty well straightened out.
He knew what Jim could do and what he was, you know. His services is invaluable.
Well, they can turn him loose up there and tell him they want something done, and he can get it done.
Darn right.
And he knows the right people to call on, you know, like Charlie Lazaration.
Like
that, you know.
Yeah, when Dew Line broke, it didn't take him. He must have had a list from before. He had all them old timers coming back from all directions.
Well, he and Marion Nicholson, went up first in 50. Just before Christmas of 54.
Yeah, old Hard Rock Granite. And he
opened up
the powerhouse for him.
Opened up the camp. And hired some Eskimos who would work and not get drunk. And you know, steady ones. And then they started getting in some of the other old-timers.
Yeah. I went up exactly the first of the year after he was up there.
Well, he's kind of on a standby for the Naval Petroleum Reserve because he's known every well they've drilled up there, and he's been up there since 1946 and knows the country real well and knows he's done a lot of engineering and a lot of ingenuity had to use his ingenuity out in the middle of nowhere sometimes when they had some serious problems. So
he forgot more than that Ted Matthews will ever know, I think.
Well, I don't know. Ted was a pretty good engineer, but Ted was, you know, he kind of liked to play around with new ideas.
Yeah.
Jim is the old plotter, and he just plods along and does what has to be done. Ted liked to be innovative and try new ideas.
Yeah, I know when he went to put them jimmies in that old LVT up there, had to have special castings and cost $250,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there it sets out on the old deadline. I suppose it's gone now, the scrap.
I don't know. What's happened to that one? Forgotten about that one.
Yeah.
I stopped to see Matthews last September when I went through San Francisco. They live in San Mateo.
Well, they do?
And that was on a Sunday. It was Labor Day, and I didn't want to leave San Francisco until Labor Day because I knew all the traffic would be coming back in, and I was headed north. And it's a divided highway, so I thought, well, that's a good time to travel. When they're all headed the other direction, I want to be... You know,
I was
free and easy. So
I was seeing old Ted just the other day, and I wondered then where he was.
Well, when I got there Sunday, and I left Monday, my daughter and I, we visited with Alberta, his wife. She had just heard from him that day. She'd gotten a long-distance telephone call from London. That was the first time she'd heard from him in 3 months.
Yeah,
that's the way he was, you know. He'd take off and just leave her with the kids. And, well, she's pretty reliable, you know. He's been down there working on some... gold recovery. I think it's gold recovery device.
Uh-huh.
It's something that he's thought of and worked on for years, and is, well, maybe it may not be gold, but he's still in mining engineering, and he's been doing this for an outfit that's headquartered in the on the West Coast. They have a shop there near San Mateo where he's been building this thing. Then he took it to Africa to install it, to oversee the installation. And that's about the last I've heard.
No, I'll be darned. He had a boy go sour too, didn't he, in town there? Yeah.
Yeah, he got on marijuana and then he got on LSD and he just blew his mind. He's rational some of the time and then all of a sudden he'll just...
I remember when Ted had to go down and get him out of jail. And he must have felt terrible. It's a hell of a thing.
Well, it's kind of hard raising children. There were some tough years in there.
Then this is a different era altogether. Yeah, going into a different era. There's even kids right up in that village just tried it, you know.
Yeah.
It's all over the same, seems like.